At the Foreign Office has summoned Rwanda's High Commissioner to demand an immediate withdrawal of the country's forces from the Democratic Republic of Congo. BBC News.
With Vigi Alice. Don't go anywhere. We're a new series of the programme which challenges established ideas and aims to make you laugh along the way. Weight loss and procrastination are among the subjects tackled in this week's edition of Heresy. In just a moment, after a quick blast of fresh air.
I used to get up at six every morning and run through the River Glaven, get very wet. I really loved it because running didn't hurt in those days.
The new series of This Natural Life with me, Martha Carney. Exploring our passion for the great outdoors.
To make that shift when I was 5 years old into the country, it was like arriving in the most extraordinary adventure playground.
With guests including Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, James Dyson and Adjoa Ando.
I feel my blood pressure drop when I get here. I think there's nothing so heartening than walking in nature.
The new series of This Natural Life starts on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds on Thursday afternoon at 3.
Now on Radio 4, we join Victorian Corin Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Heresy, the show that fights against received wisdom, such as it's important to spell out the premise of a radio panel show at the beginning of the programme. Instead, perhaps you can Google it while I introduce tonight's panel, Phil Wang, Zoe Lyons and Miles Jupp. We're going to kick off by talking about weight loss. A blast from the past there, 1981, when people were fit. Nowadays, we consume 1,000 times as much sugar, and there's been a big social change since Heresy was last on air. Ozempic and other weight loss injections. They suit our modern lifestyles. We're busy people. I haven't got time to eat less. In biochemical terms, these diet drugs are peptide 1 receptor agonists. And how they work exactly is that you're a big fat fatty, and then after a bit, you're not. Sorry if that got too technical. But our audience believe that it's better to lose weight through diet and exercise than by injection. Phil Wang, why are they wrong?
Absolute nonsense. Have you tried diet and exercise? It's awful, and it doesn't end. You never finish. All diet and exercise does is prolong your life. Great. But a life of what? Diet and exercise. It's a Ponzi scheme. Injections are amazing, on the other hand. You know, the things injections have achieved. I don't remember diet and exercise ending polio. Injections, we finally have the technology. We found a cure for exercise itself.
Zoe Lyons, why is injecting just as good as dieting?
Diet and exercise. Exercise specifically, very dangerous. My bones now, when I move them, make a sound like when you walk on autumn leaves. It's crunchy. It's not... And that can't be good for me. And, you know, there are dangers associated with the exercise, not just doing the exercise. I have myself put my back out trying to put a sports bra on. So it's genuinely true. I had to get cut out of one once at a Sweaty Betty. It was very embarrassing. Are they so tight? It's like they're one size smaller than your own skin. It's just incredible. I mean, the bra was so tight, they sort of pushed them out the back. I was like, this is ridiculous. And I think, you know, injecting actually probably takes up more calories than does sitting on a gym machine scrolling through your phone. So...
Obviously, we're broadcasting on the BBC. We have to be careful to be sensitive about language. So instead of the word obese, I'll be using the phrase morbidly jolly. M- Miles, why should we get over the idea that healthy living is better than shortcuts?
Well, look, firstly, very flattered by that link, Victoria, from... my fridge is full of the stuff. I'm going to fire straight in. Look, I mean, nobody likes moving. Everybody loves needles. Nobody in Britain has ever, as far as I remember, objected to any kind of mandatory injection. that's sort of what we want, really. The thing, I mean, I know a lot of people, because we all do in our industry, we know a lot of people on Ozempic, and they've never looked better, frankly. They've all, I mean, they don't have a healthy glow and they look a bit frightening, but at the same, at the same time, they look incredibly transportable. We're in the middle of a housing crisis. A lot of them would fit into a sort of box folder or a hand luggage. You know, this is, I mean, classic win-win.
Is it about the new? We don't know what's in Ozempic, Mounjaro, all the different things. We don't know what's in cheese strings, apart from, you know, not cheese. Is it just a fear of the new? Wouldn't people have once said, you shouldn't use a washing machine, you should wash your pants by hand?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and of course, we lost a lot of weight by doing that.
Yes.
But I think it is that. It's that people think somehow that the trauma and difficulty of diet and exercise is morally better than a quick fix. But the first person that ever used an axe, the other guy went, well, I was happy using my head.
There's the same feeling that you should have to earn what you enjoy, right? And that a quick fix is sort of an insult to that idea. And I think especially in, I mean, the UK is probably a classic country that's against Ozempic because, I mean, there's a tall poppy syndrome here anyway. And they, oh, look at them, oh, too good to be 400 pounds. To get something for nothing, I think that is what people see this as, and that's why people are so against it.
Well,
right?
Yeah, well, and also they're against it because they'll have to get rid of a lot of those T-shirts that say no pain, no gain. just reduced to no pain. Yeah.
Have any of you ever tried a sort of fad diet?
Well, when I was 11, I was very big, and I'd roll about town, and... I look like a geisha and a dance player at the same time. I don't know how I managed that look. But once I was so desperate to lose weight, I thought, well, let's go to the original diet. I'm just not gonna eat. I stopped eating for a day. And I was so tired. I was so sleepy, and I've never dieted since.
I had a friend who lost weight through aromatherapy, she said. For me,
what?
Wafting lemon and rosemary about just makes me hungrier.
There was the cabbage soup diet.
Oh,
when
God,
would that
yes.
be? Late 90s? Members of my family did it, maybe. I mean, really what it seemed to do was basically accelerate every organ function to the point where you were incapable of being involved in any kind of social activity. It was real high-wire stuff, I think. It's not for people who entertain, really, the cabbage
yeah.
soup diet. It was, I mean, it was an absolute sluice. Yeah.
The biggest thing you lost was the side of your house, wasn't it? It all came tumbling out. I've done a three-day juice thing. I did a day and a half and then flushed the rest down the loo, which is where it was going anyway, so...
But it's not as good, of course, as just taking something out of the fridge, getting the sharp end and wanging it straight into your own gut. And anyone who thinks otherwise is mad.
I do think that. I think there has been so much misery and trauma in the diet industry for so long, so much exploitation. Okay, maybe it's big pharma is behind the injections, but the diet industry is a juggernaut. And this magical thing has come along. And instead of just being happy about it, people are going around wagging fingers and saying you shouldn't. Let's go to the audience and I'll harangue them. Where is Ed Williams? So you think it's better to lose weight through diet and exercise than by injection? Why do you think that?
Because I've done it. When I was younger, like Phil, I used to weigh like 19 stone. I lost 8 stone on the Rosemary Connolly's hip and thigh diet.
Ooh, other diets are available.
Does that just go off your hips and thighs?
It basically means you can eat gummy bears for
right.
the entire time.
Right.
How long did it take you to lose that weight?
about 11 months.
But you could just do the little injections.
I have been tempted to try it. But it is, instantly, as soon as you stop paying for it, it goes back on, doesn't it? Whereas when I lost the 8 stone, until I met him, until I got married, it stayed off for, 10, 12 years.
Pass the microphone over, please. yes. What's your name, sir?
Justin.
Why are you responsible for weight being put on?
I like food.
Are you a feeder?
I'm a feeder.
Actually, they do say that people carry more weight when they're happy, don't they? Unfortunately, they're an argument for not losing weight at all. Take the microphone away. Nikki Spelling, what do you think of these injections?
I think they were worth a try because I've started a diet every Monday since she was born. And it didn't work, so try the injections.
Are you pointing at a random member of the audience, ma'am?
My daughter next to me.
So have you tried injections?
I'm using them now.
How's it going?
I feel as sick as a dog. All the time, but I've lost nearly a stone, so...
Swings and roundabouts, isn't it? That's...
What sort of dog?
It's working for me, so... And nothing ever has, so...
Did you try starting the diet on a Tuesday?
Thank you very much to the audience. Let's move on from diet drugs. Certainly no worse than faddy diets. Remember the 5-2 diet? So named because if you start at 8 in the morning, 5-2 is when you think, sod it, I'll have a donut. Another big change since Heresy was last on air is that we have a Labour government for the first time in well over a decade. And how is everything?
They're out of sorts in Sunderland and terribly cross in Kent. They're dull in Hull and the Isle of Mull is seething with discontent. They're nervous in Northumberland and Devon is down the drain. They're filled with wrath on the Firth of Forth and sullen on Salisbury Plain. From Colwyn Bay to Kettering, they're sobbing themselves to sleep. The shrieks and wails in the Yorkshire dales have even depressed the sheep. In rather vulgar lettering, a very disgruntled group have posted bills on the Cotswold Hills to prove that we're in the soup.
The general consensus is Keir Starmer's premiership is not going well. Zoe Lyons, how can you cheer up the listeners by explaining that everything's wonderful?
Oh, that's absolute rubbish that it's not going well. I mean, for a start, I think pre-Keir, we'd all have said there was a lot of politics. Some would say too much politics. And now there's hardly any politics at all. Hardly any politics. You hardly know he's there. And... people say that he's, not a visionary. Absolutely not true. Not true. He's had over 2.5 grand's worth of free glasses, designer glasses. If there's anybody that can see well, it's him, Some of the policies people have said have been questionable, the reduction of the winter fuel allowance. Again, that's absolute rubbish, because what he was doing with all of the free clothing that he was getting early on in his premiership was he was just going to redistribute it to the elderly. Very clever. He's sort of better than Vinted, in a way. If after all of that you're still in doubt that, he's not doing a good job, recently Donald Trump has actually said... Keir is doing a good job.
Resounding endorsement for Keir Starmer there.
How quickly we forget what he is replacing. I mean, Boris Johnson was a scoundrel. Liz Truss tripled our mortgages. And Rishi Sunak, we lost behind a sofa cushion and we couldn't find him. At least we can find Keir Starmer. At least we know where he is. And I'm sure he's frozen a couple of pensioners... but that just means they're going to keep a bit longer.
What a nation of pessimists we've become. Miles, what do you have to say about how great everything is?
Well, I think this is typical of the way that we judge people by far, just impossibly high standards, really. It's more than a generation since a Prime Minister came to power in Britain and people started saying immediately, oh, this is actually going quite well. But even then, of course, we were looking through rose-tinted spectacles because we were so excited about the Millennium Dome. whereas this, you know, someone like this, you know, this is a man, you've got to give him quite a bit of leeway. He needs a bit of slack because he's already achieved things. He's got a knighthood, for heaven's sake. He's Sir Keir Starmer. Mm. So he's already done stuff, thank you. So he doesn't really need to prove himself. And that follows a long history of people with Sir at the front of their name that we quite rightly, you know, just revere no matter what they do. Sir Ian Botham, Sir Fred Goodwin, Sir Robert Mugabe, Serbian tennis player Novak Djokovic. It elevates.
But we're all falling into the trap of being rude about him. And I genuinely think this is a good heresy topic because I think the press is more keen than ever to make everything sound terrible. They've noticed that what's clickbaity on the internet is people saying horrible things, so they say horrible things.
You know, it's very comfortable, isn't it, not being particularly happy with things. Of course, you want to push the narrative that this is disastrous, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. It would be awful to wake up one morning and go, hello, it's very good. What an absolute nightmare situation that would be for any kind of commentator. You don't want to be the person standing outside Westminster going, another cracking day.
You refer Zoe to the stuff, you know, he got this nickname Free Gear Keir. Mm. And already that's an accolade because they have a nickname this soon. I mean, do you know how long it took to come up with Pissy Sunak? I mean... get told we mind about free clothes and free tickets to the football. Do you really? He's the Prime Minister. Do you care if he jumps a queue? Do you care if he sits in a box at the football?
No, and I want to see him waiting in the line at Moss Bros as much as anyone. That's my Prime Minister. No, absolutely. I think this just goes to show how much confidence we have lost in ourselves as a country. Not even our leaders can skip the queue. Not even our leaders can have fun lives. I mean, if the leader of a country can't take the occasional private jet, what's even the point? Yeah. No other country, I think, would take issue with its leaders splurging.
I'm only here for the sandwiches. I mean, we all do it, don't we?
Yeah.
I saw you packeting a couple of packets of crisps in that room last. Well, we're all at it.
Turned up with an empty bag. I'll leave you the full one. Yeah. Not messing about.
I don't think anybody minds those things. I think we get told that everybody minds. So we say, oh, we should mind. It's like, oh, everybody's wearing navy this season. We should wear it. Oh, everyone says it's awful. I don't think people think it's awful.
And how bad would it be for the image of the country that our Prime Minister, if he tweeted, oh, couldn't get tickets for Taylor Swift? Yeah. It's him with three laptops open, refreshing the... again and again. It's like...
Exactly. Having to go on sort of X and go, I'm so sorry that I wasn't at PMQs today. I'm stuck in the tube. They keep offering me a car, but I think, no, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? How up myself would I have to be to accept an escort to work, a car every morning? So sorry, everyone, nothing's happening. I'm just like you. I am stuck. I'm having a snow day and I'm the Prime Minister.
Let's see if the audience has any evidence for their view that the new premiership is not going well. Where is... Let me see. Who I think is going to be a bit mad, but not too mad.
I can't wait to see who this is.
I said that out loud, didn't I? Not really. Janet Berenson, where are you? What do you think is wrong with the state of the nation?
The state of this nation?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm a dual citizen, so I think that the fact that I'm spending a lot of my time with my cat on my lap because I don't want to have the heat on, because I'm of an age where I had 300 pounds a year for the heat and now I don't, might be slightly indicative of the things that are wrong. I'm feeling a little bit like this nation is getting old.
I think it could be just the audience you're sitting in.
Well, I think it could be me. It could be me, but I was never looking forward to being dead before.
And
And Starmer has achieved that.
You're listening to Radio 4.
I think it could be coloured by the fact that my birthday is coming up this week. And
what birthday is it? Do you mind my asking?
I don't mind your asking. Do you want me to answer?
Yes, please.
I'm going to be 78.
Lovely. Come on, everybody. Janet's depressed. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
You'll want to remember that warm feeling, Janet.
Yeah.
That was satire, not abuse.
Let's move on to our next topic. But seriously, let's not be too despondent. Maybe the government is doing perfectly fine and it's just the media that's the problem. Remember, Keir is fighting the Daily Mail, the Sun, the Times, the Telegraph and the Express. If it wasn't for them, his popularity rating might be as high as disappointing. And of course, it's not just Keir Starmer running the country. Others are achieving great things. It's the team around him, like Rachel, what's her name, and the ginger one, and the others. Poor old Keir Starmer. I really meant to be sort of nicer about him. Our last topic this evening is a proverb, or rather several proverbs. The early bird catches the worm. There's no time like the present. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. A stitch in time saves nine. They all mean the same thing, and it's this. Hurry, hurry, hurry now. Quick, quick, quick. Just step on the gas, 'cause I don't wanna miss this. This opportunity will only come once in my life. My life. I gotta hurry, hurry, hurry now. Quick, quick, quick. Yes, hurry up, get on with it. That's what all these proverbs mean. Miles Jupp, why is that wrong?
It's nonsensical. The idea that things are done better just by being done quickly. I mean, if you look at some of the things that have been achieved by procrastination, penicillin, for instance. That's a direct result of Alexander Fleming. He's doing experiments. He then doesn't sort of wash up one of the Petri dishes. He goes on holiday to Suffolk. He comes back. Oh goodness, there's some mould there. I wonder. Oh, what does that do? It turns out it will change the course of medicine for future generations. Now, if he was in a sort of assiduous person, he got straight onto it and he went, well, before I go on holiday, I better wash up all the Petri dishes. I love washing up anyway. I often do it, listen to one of the terrific podcasts on BBC Sounds that I are so fascinating, despite somehow all being the same. I'll burn through this. I won't be able to relax in Suffolk until I've cleaned all the Petri dishes. We wouldn't have penicillin.
We have to realise that sometimes we gain from putting things off, from procrastinating. For example, if you put a raw chicken in the oven, this new cult of productivity would have you take that thing back out after 30 seconds. And sure, you've saved some time on a roast, but it's going to cost you a lot more time on the toilet than the hospital.
I have a list of things I need to do, but I can never get past the first thing, make a list of the things I need to do. Zoe, what can you say in favour of procrastinating?
If I do today what, you know, what I could do tomorrow, what will I do tomorrow? You know, I'll have nothing to do tomorrow, and that'll be very bad for my mental health. I'll do it tomorrow.
Also, some problems solve themselves, don't they? Because, like, when the clocks go back, I never bother changing the clocks, because guess what happens in a few months' time?
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah, my car has the right time for 6 months, and then it doesn't.
A thing I often think about is in 5 billion years, the sun will explode, obliterating the Earth. Should the saying be, a stitch in time will be obliterated in 5 billion years when the sun explodes? And what I'm saying is there's no point doing anything. Miles.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. All clichés should eventually be replaced with, I mean, why do we worry about anything anyway? We're all going to die in a fireball. I think...
Happy birthday.
too far. Perhaps we should worry less about all of these things. I mean, literally everything. Why don't we stop?
But there is, as often, there is a serious point, which is I think people do, people are made to feel guilty and nervous for not doing enough. There's a saying, isn't there? All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Mm. So, like, now Hitler's my fault. Isn't it? Because actually, all the evil people, they didn't think they were evil, right? They thought they were good men who were doing something.
But if some of the really evil people had been lazier, they would have done less evil in their allotted time span, wouldn't they? So that would have made the world a better place. Yeah. Although, no, I want people that are sort of inclined towards serial killing to be just lazier. They finally get to their deathbed and go, I tell you what, I wish I'd always done. And they haven't, because they were too bloody lazy. Or maybe they just lack confidence. Whatever it is, the end result is the same. People are safer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if only Hitler had been less productive, if only he hadn't taken A Stitch in Time Saves Nine. I guess for Hitler, A Stitch in Time Saves Nine means A Stitch in Time Saves Nothing. Yeah, so... I'll take three claps.
Let's go to the audience. Rory Sachs, you think A Stitch in Time Saves Nine, but have you never sort of put off doing something and then be quite glad you put it off?
So I was on holiday when I was a student with some friends in a casino in Macau, and I'd had the equivalent of, say, £5 left in Macau money. And all of my friends were saying, OK, can we go and just get some cocktails? And I was like, well, since I've got basically no money left, I might as well just spend my last lot on the roulette wheel and one extra final go when everyone else was already on the way out of the casino door. And then I had, more money than anyone.
You're setting a very bad example. But... So does this not prove it's better to postpone things?
Oh, totally. Don't leave the casino.
But A Stitch in Time Saves Nine is one of the proverbs that mean do something as soon as you think of it, so you should have left earlier.
Oh, but what was the question on the actual sheet?
Broadly, if you understand the proverb, A Stitch in Time Saves Nine, shout yes.
Yes.
I see the problem immediately. We're coming to the end of the show. If we have changed your minds on any of the three topics, shout yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's all been a failure, never mind. It's time to wind up the show with a last hurrah for putting things off and a sceptical eyebrow raise at being in a hurry. I believe if you don't do anything, you can't be wrong. Join me, everyone. What do we want? Procrastination. When do we want it? At some point. I'm in favour of procrastination. I'm pro-procrastination. Not con-procrastination. I'm anti-con-procrastination. We need more procrastination in our lives. Rise up and procrastinate. Or even better, don't bother. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to my guests, Phil Wang, Zoe Lyons and Miles Jupp. Good night.
Heresy is written and presented by Victoria Corin-Mitchell with additional material from Dan Gaster and Charlie Skelton. It was produced by Victoria Corin-Mitchell and Daisy Knight. The series was created by David Badil and is an Avalon production for Radio 4. The Archers is in a couple of minutes after the news. There's a blast from the past for Helen. And here are a few other people reflecting on the past.
My name is Kate Blanchett.
My name is Christopher Eccleston.
My name is Omid Jalili. I played Fagin on the West End.
I'm Judy Dench, and I played Cleopatra at the National Theatre in 1987.
Reflections on iconic roles.
She is Egypt. Egypt is she.
He teaches children to rebel against adults. He's a man-child.
And stories from behind the scenes.
What I do remember very clearly is Peter saying, we're going to have real snakes.
Roleplay on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds next Monday morning at 11.